The Institute for Disaster Mental Health at the State University of New York at New Paltz is holding its 15th annual conference Friday. The theme is Psychosocial Response to Mass Violence, a topic selected before such recent tragedies as the school shooting in Parkland, Florida. I spoke with two of the presenters. Christy Rogers responded to the deadliest mass shooting in modern U.S. history when a gunman opened fire at a country music festival in Las Vegas in October. Rogers runs the disaster mental health program at the national level for the American Red Cross. She is responsible for ensuring there is a workforce ready to respond to incidents like mass shootings. Rogers will speak during the conference about her experience in Las Vegas. She says the size and breadth of the population was a challenge.
The fact that there were 22,000 people there means that they were from all over. So they were from, I believe, 40 out of 50 states and four other countries. So the challenge that was created for us was, how do you provide consistent quality service to everybody, at least make it available to everybody, when that population has now disseminated everywhere?
She says a lesson reinforced in Las Vegas was the importance of scaling up response operations quickly, especially as the Red Cross was responding to four major natural disasters at the same time. And here's what goes through her mind when she hears about mass violence like the Parkland, Florida school shooting.
In the role that I'm in, of course, what first goes into my head is, how much capacity do we have in that particular area, and what is our Red Cross mobilization going to look like? So from a practical perspective, of course, I have to immediately step into, planning mode and take into consideration the limitations we may have, the positive things that go on as a result, and the relationships that we already have.
On a personal level,
there's also a sense of dread, of course, and a sense of anxiety about the fact that these are becoming more and more common, and that it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when next.
She describes how the increase in mass violence impacts the Red Cross.
It puts a lot of pressure on us to have a workforce that is resilient and trained and savvy enough to be able to respond to very delicate situations at the drop of a hat, at any time.
Rogers says she responded on the ground to incidents prior to Las Vegas.
I was part of the leadership team for the Dallas police shooting a couple of years ago, where five police officers were killed and a number more were injured. So I helped lead that response, and I have responded to a couple of transportation incidents as well, so plane crashes.
Psychotherapist Dr. Craig Hain is leading a workshop.
So my focus is really on looking at some of the ways that we might work with children and adolescents following mass trauma events. I think we've learned a lot since September 11th about not just trauma and how it impacts kids, but how we heal from that. So I'm going to be presenting some new paradigms of looking at ways of approaching trauma that go beyond just how we talk about it, but how we work with their bodies and how we work with experience to help them move beyond things that they've been exposed to.
Plus, he says,
I'm a creative arts therapist myself. I'm a drama therapist and run a training institute helping clinicians learn how to implement the arts in trauma treatment. Because what is new is with neuroscience studies, we're understanding how important that sort of three-dimensional experience of the world can be. We take in the world through our bodies, through our brains, and on multiple levels. And so I think the arts, often what they bring, particularly for kids who have a hard time verbalizing what they've been through, is a way of expressing things that often are inexpressible because they're so overwhelming.
He adds,
so when we talk about a school shooting, kids of course feel devastated, but also one of the things we begin to think about, and we see this in the patterns that have emerged since just the most recent shooting in Parkland, is other kids begin to see this as a way to vent and express their anger. And so if we can work with kids to find safe expressions of anger, can they represent it in art? Can they put it out there in a role play? Can they put it into a song? Can they drum about it? And what they begin to find is that stuff that's so hard to talk about, which is, hey, I feel angry too sometimes, and sometimes I see what people have done with guns, and I fantasize about that, which are normal thoughts that teenagers especially have. If they can begin to put that in a more distanced form, We give it form in art. We give it form in music. It's something not only that they can safely express, but they can begin to look at as something outside themselves and re-examine.
And Hain hopes to help his peers in the following way.
When these large-scale trauma events happen, not only as a general populace do we feel confused and disoriented, but professionals get confused and disoriented. They begin to forget what they know, and that's the nature of trauma, is that we learn things and then we forget them again until something happens. And so in many ways, I think that therapists often have the building blocks to work with trauma effectively, but they don't realize that because they deal with the same hurt and confusion and fear that all the rest of the world deals with. And so that's a part of my aim, is to kind of return people to the basis of what they already know is healing.
And with increasing mass violence over the years, there's a question of whether there's a danger of becoming immune.
You know, it's a great debate, and I think one that touches so much for folks in the media, right? Does the image of a trauma event, does it flatten it, and does it consign it to something that feels distant and not possible, or does it testify to what's happened and help people to understand that something important has happened? You know, one of the most landmark studies around trauma that came out after 9/11 was published in the Journal of the American Medical Association. It was the first time we'd really established in a very scientific way that it wasn't just proximity to a disaster that impacted trauma symptoms, but they had correlated trauma symptoms with hours of television coverage of the towers falling, regardless of where that person was living in the country. And so I think that's really important, because there is a way in which not only do we become numb and immune, but there's a way in which we can become incredibly traumatized. And so the ability to shut off a TV or step away from a screen, especially for our kids who are terribly connected, is important.
The Institute for Disaster Mental Health at SUNY New Paltz is holding its annual conference Friday. The theme is Psychosocial Response to Mass Violence. Reporting from WAMC's Hudson Valley Bureau on the campus of Vassar College, I'm Hudson Valley Bureau Chief Allison Dunn.